lot of data didn't belong there, but what she did end up ending up was put them in places like programming and whatnot. So we had to redo that again, and so the consulting expenses that you see there are more or less going to be reflected because they've not been separated into the proper categories. So that affected the salary. That affected the salary line. So now we're everyone wiser. We off into a new fiscal, and the consulting area will be more reflective of true consulting costs.
But in the consolidated budget, what I'm reading is the total salaries and related increased by 42.42% at BAI. That reflects actuality, right?
Alice, you can't really do it that way. You can't just look at the percentage.
Can I ask, wait, just 1 second. Alice, are you comparing budget 04 to budget 05?
I'm talking about budget 04 only.
Budget versus actual. They were over budget by 42% is what she's saying.
Yes.
Okay, because the budget 04, the budget 04 included a cut which was anticipated during the crisis of last fall, which never took place. It was never implemented. That's why it's so low.
Yeah. So
low? The budget amount was something like 20 to 30% below what was actually spent because the I think it was the IPNB that adopted a budget in February which incorporated the emergency plan, you know, which was assumed but never was implemented because BAI overcame its financial problems.
Well, this is an increase from 03, so, you know, it shouldn't necessarily reflect any cuts that happened after 03, you know. This is a radical increase in salaries. That's what I'm looking at, in paid persons. Is that not true, that there is a significant increase in paid persons at BAI from 2004 to 2003?
I guess you can go on the website. What was the? I guess I can do it while we're on the call. But did you look at the gross salary 2003?
I have in the past, but I mean, otherwise these figures don't make sense to me, at least on the Pacifica Consolidated you sent out.
Hey, we'll pass the question just a second. I'll check on the website, get the 2003 number. We'll look at compare it to the 2004-2005. That might be a way of seeing what those things.
Yeah, but again, I guess my question in a way still remains because what was budgeted for whatever reason in 2004 was 775,230. What was the actual is 1,135,493. So my question is, if salaries increase, even if they should increase, who approves that? Does someone above the GM level approve that? And who approves this?
Okay.
Now,
that's what we've been talking about, is actually setting some policies that would require an approval. So
and that
couldn't happen again. The same thing happened at KPFA over the last 2 years, by the way.
Well, the issue of BI is different.
Well, I'm just talking in the general sense that salaries went up over budget without any approval process.
Yeah, that's what we're setting in place this fiscal, so we can monitor it, see who's going to be accountable, how we handle it. But I don't want to keep beating a dead horse. The WBI situation is where you had, because the budget was reduced, that it made the variance greater than it would have been.
Well, my question was, why was it increased if the station, which it was in such crisis over a year ago, why was that amount increased? Who approved it? You know, that was a measure that you and your office took to protect the station, and I guess there was no process in place, and it just grew.
Now, if I'm hearing you, you're saying that salaries grew, the difference between the 700,000 and the, what is that number?
1,135,000.
Yeah, over the course of that fiscal.
That's what it says here.
And the answer is that's not true. That's just how it looks on paper. Now, why is that? The reason is...
Yeah, I understand. The consultants were no longer and taken into somewhere, right?
No.
Now,
did you guys let me tell us?
Sorry?
Yeah, what happened was that we went to the PNB and said, we're going to do layoffs at WBAI. Here's the budget adjustment reduction. that will involve in salaries. Reason it went from the 1.6 thousand, that 70,000 was assuming layoffs. Well, the layoff didn't occur, and the budget didn't occur because WBAI recovered. Well, there we were with the budget figure reduced. So it made it look like the salaries were going way above the reduced budget.
I understand.
So that's why it looks out of whack. But Carol's point is also well taken. Stations did, even adjusting for all those caveats, overspend their salaries. Some of them overspent the salaries just because they overspent the salaries. Some of them did it, as Dave mentioned, because their revenues went up and they picked up extra support and help. And some people were discerning, as we had said before, they needed extra help in various areas and extra staff. And, yes, we need to monitor it better this year, and we need to, because salaries are crucial expenses. Others, Kay, for example, they had a union contract. They didn't know what it was going to cost. When you get into it, then, of course, you find out how much it's going to cost, et cetera. So there are lots of reasons. But bottom line, accountability and the way we've done these bylaws is that it's shared. LSPs now are involved, GM, CFO, this committee, the board as a whole. And what we're adjusting to is we look at it every quarter, wherever, and we identify problem areas. Out of hand. So I think we're moving toward a system that will certainly be more effective than what we had last.
Uh-huh.
Here we go.
You know, sometime I would like to receive an exact list of who gets paid at BAI, and it's very difficult to find this. But
you didn't get the salary thing, you mean?
Any payment whatsoever.
Yeah, okay.
I provided it to the LSB.
I didn't see.
Well, I provided it in a meeting of an executive session.
Okay, Lonnie, the CFO report, please. What's the financials? What's notable?
Yeah, can I do a shorter version and then point you to some things? But
whatever you want.
I'm redoing the FY04 September. What I'm doing with that is I'm adding the FY05 budget to it, okay? So that we can see what the FY04 actuals were compared to the FY05 budgeted.
I don't understand what you just said.
I don't know either.
Well, could you describe it again?
Yeah, it's like I sent out the FY04 financials, the income, sort of like the final numbers for the year.
Right.
Now, what I'm doing since I sent that out, adding another at the end called FY05 budget.
Oh, so you're comparing last year to this year? I mean, this year's projected to last year's actuals.
Yes, exactly. That's going to be very useful as a monitoring device as we go through this fiscal, okay?
So at the time when the budget was made, we were projecting based on what we saw as of August or July or whatever.
Yeah, and it's the updated one, the updated FY05. So we can see in each line item what they actually spent in FY04 and what they're proposing to spend in FY05. That's very useful information, some of the numbers. And so that's one thing I would want to point out. Okay.
Lonnie, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Are you saying that that's going to be a regular column in your income statement from now on?
I'm working up that system right now, and I will resend FY04 with the new FY05 column inserted.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, that's going to be helpful.
Yes, it will.
Okay, that's the first thing I wanted to point out, and some of you had trouble reading the charts at the bottom. It's because when you hide a column, the charts don't register the data, so you unhide the column and you can see the data at the bottom. Now, the thing I would want to point out about FY04 and FY05, which I think we have to look at them in tandem, is that the revenues, when you compare FY04 and FY05, are flat. That is, we are not budgeting much more revenue for 05 than what we sort of achieved in 04. Revenue projections are up for FY05, $650,000 for all stations. That's not a whole lot, you know.
So in the budget or now that we've gotten the first fund drive data back?
Budget.
In the budget.
Okay.
When you compare the FY04 actuals revenues with what's being projected for FY05,
uh-huh.
That
not much increase, only $650,000.
On a $15 million budget, so around a 3% increase.
Now, that's not gigantic. We've been doing 20%, 15 in prior years. So this is a very flat projection if we take the budget to be accurate compared to what we did in FY. So revenues are flat. Why is that? No, nobody is feeling very optimistic around projecting the increase above the $15 million that we did in FY04, and that's prudent and wise to do. Big projection increases mean you're going to spend that money probably because you think you're going to get it, and maybe you don't get it. So that would be something I'd point out. The other thing is salaries. Always looking at salaries. Salaries are not up very much across the fiscal.
A $304,000 increase in what we actually spent in FY04 with what we're proposing to spend in FY05.
That's $304,000, an increase of around 4% in the salary area. What is really amazing and gratifying is reduction in the administrative, the programming, and the development area. We understand that we're going to be spend less in the administrative area across the network, $250,000 decrease in administrative expenses comparing FY04 to FY05. Now, that's interesting. Why is that? The answer is that reduced legal expenses account for the difference. We have, of course, much less legal that we're going to be accountable for in FY05 than we were accountable in FY04. So that's one of the major reasons. In the area of programming, reduced expenditures contemplated FY04 compared to FY05, how much? $138,000, or about 9%. And it's basically coming from a premium area where we really overspent premiums last fiscal. This next year, people are trying to economize in the premium area and make some changes. So this is reflected in a budget that calls for $138,000 less expended in that programming area. Finally, that was development. Programming is $94,000, development $138,000. But development will change because WBAI did not hire a development person. If they do, that $138,000 will go down by, $50,000 or $60,000. So, bottom line is that in FY04, we had budgeted $997,000 surplus. In FY05, it'll be closer to $1.5 million, resulting mainly from reduced legal responsibilities. Plus, it's not coming from revenue. Revenue is flat. So it's coming from reduced expenses. It's coming from the premium area, and less legal to pay out, and a few other areas I won't go into. But that's the summary comparing 04 to 05. Last item is audit. We're going through the audit. The audit happens in three pieces. They come in preliminarily for two or three days, and they copy everything we have, and then they take it back, and then they come back, and then after we finish all of the bookkeeping, they compare to what changed. They want to say, well, you told us in September you were going to have this amount, and we want to see what changed between now and then. So they'll be back in December, and then they'll spend the 5 days here in December, and then they'll do the draft of the audit in January, and the final audit will be ready in February. I sent out an email. And in that email, I was basically saying, okay, what kind of year was 04? And I was saying basically that in an audit, the cash and capital part of the budgeting process we use, where we're tracking cash, we're tracking capital, and we're tracking some other items, are not part of an audit. They go to the balance sheet, and they go to items that don't impact the income statement or the current operating. For example, mortgage. A mortgage, well, you paid out the expense, but it's amortized, as we all know, 20, 30 years on a mortgage. It gets reduced on your balance sheet, even though the expenses you may pay out are, of course, much less in a given year. So cash and capital will not show up in an audit. What I tried to do is give us a sense of how the audit will look, because bankers and creditors want to look at your audit. So the audit will not have cash and capital, though it will have the amortized expenses for that operating year in the audit, but not 5 years' worth of whatever we spend money on, because that goes to the balance sheet. That will mean that our surplus, I'm now estimating, will be somewhere between $600,000 and $800,000. What is not in that income statement is the depreciation, that is, depreciated value of all any equipment we buy, transmitters, that sort of stuff. That would be on a, you know, transmitters 30 years. So you only get 1/30th of that as an expense in of the fiscal, in this case, FY04. Anyway, to make a long story short, I'm now, after talking with the auditors, there's still some questions, but we look to have $600,000 to $800,000 as a surplus in an audit look financials. How does that compare? I don't know. You know, other years, $600,000. Other years, you know, last year was 1.3, that is FY03. So it's better than a deficit, and 3 or 4 years we've been so far so good. So it's not great, but it could have been a lot worse because we had some serious overspending this fiscal and unanticipated expenses this fiscal. Why the range of $600,000 to $800,000? We've got some write-offs, and we also got some issues around prior year, and you've got what we call vacation, accrued expenses, you know, how much vacation that people take. And then the last one is inventory. We're now having the stations do inventory, counting all those CDs and what their value will be, and that will hit the balance sheet. We're still... So, I don't know, some stations, you know, whether or not people are going to pay invoices or not, still an issue. So anyway, that's a quick summary of 04, a glimpse of 05, and a glimpse of the audit. That's it.
I have questions, but who has questions before I have one?
I have a couple.
Carol, anyone else? Okay, Carol and then me.
Lonnie, you said all the stations are doing an inventory and that will show up on the balance sheet. I have a question about how that shows up on the balance sheet. I know we have assets. We show our real property and our other property as an asset on the balance sheet. And is that where the value of the inventory is?
Yeah, you look at there's a section in current assets.
Right. Okay. So now, question. Suppose that, when was the last time we did an inventory?
Well, we did it last year.
Uh-huh. All right. So suppose that in last year's inventory we had 7 CD players valued at X dollars. And they're depreciating somewhere, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah.
So then you've got your capital value, I can't think of the right term for it, on the balance sheet of those things is decreased. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. And you've also purchased 2 CD players, and that expense was capitalized, and the value of those CD players is on your balance sheet as an asset?
As a new asset, yeah.
Yeah, as a new asset. All of those things are somehow or another reconciled when you do your cash statement of cash flows, right? Is that where it gets reconciled?
It not get reconciled in that depreciation figure I was referring to.
Mm-hmm.
And all that stuff up for all the stations, you know, old assets that are reduced in value plus
right.
assets plus salvage items, you know, items that are no longer depreciable, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a number,
mm-hmm.
and that includes furniture,
mm-hmm.
fixtures,
right?
All that stuff,
right?
And then I am working with an estimate on it now, but we won't have a final figure, of course, until
mm-hmm.
it all comes in.
But at some place in the audit itself, It explains everything that has changed from last year.
That's correct.
And it's partially its depreciation and partially its cash flows where you spent money on a capital item. Isn't that correct?
That's correct. And it will even vary about what month you bought that capital item because you only depreciate part of the year.
Right. Okay. Yes. So that's one thing. Well, up until we hired our current auditor, for every year prior to that, the statement of cash flows was station by station. And that's extremely helpful. And I noticed that Ross does all of the other tables on a station-by-station basis, but not the statement of cash flow.
So you're thinking cash flow, statement of cash flow activities, that's the one you're...
Yeah.
Yeah, station-by-station.
Yeah, every year up until we hired Ross, they did the statement of cash flows on a station-by-station basis, just like they did all of their others.
I'm seeing dollar bills, but yes, I'll find out how much that'll cost.
They always did it.
Yeah.
And in order to do the consolidated one, they have to do the station-by-station one, I'm assuming.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes,
and you know what I can do, it might save us some money, is we do one internally.
Well, the audit itself is the public document that everybody gets, and it sure would be awfully helpful to everybody to have that information just out there where we can look at it and don't have to scrounge around and find it somewhere else.
All right.
One other thing you mentioned. I can't remember.
Well, we can come back to it.
Okay.
You sent around to us something about a revised surplus.
That was it.
Variance, et cetera. Statement by email, and all of the numbers were up from what they'd been in your email to us of October 11th. What happened? How'd they go up? What what is the statement?
What, FY05?
Yeah.
Well, you remember at the last board meeting, I had identified that which stations had their 1 month operating and which ones did not.
Right.
Since that time, I've been working with the GMs and business managers around remedying that problem. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That is to say, I want to present a budget where each station, including the national, has its 1 month operating. So that's the revision that I'm referring to.
Mm-hmm.
FY05 now has a circumstance where each station has that 1 month. You know, it wasn't a whole lot of money we had to find.
But so what kinds of revisions happened? In other words, is that an adjustment to the budget that you sort of did, but we haven't seen the details of yet?
Well, there was no need for KPFA to be revised. WPFW revised their budget. They had to find $23,000. They did it. So it's now included as part of this new revised FY05 budget. KPFK had to find, I don't know, about $30,000, and they did. They were able to identify where those funds might be found. I revised the national office budget, and T did not have to make any revisions.
So these were revisions on expected income, not cuts in projected spending?
Well, no, it was mostly cuts in projected spending.
Okay.
Needed to do it, and there were some minor adjustments in income for numbers these folks didn't have, like what we might get in it as an increase.
Are we going to be getting a statement of how those budgets got revised along with the items that were revised so that they can be looked at?
Small amounts of money I can go over with you if you like, but there's not a whole lot of, there wasn't, as I say, only three stations had to.
Well, I guess what I'd like is the revised budget.
Yeah, well, that's what I did send out. The revised budget. I can go over.
I didn't. You sent that out in an Excel spreadsheet?
Yeah, FY05.
And when did that come out?
I don't know, Wednesday.
You know, Lonnie.
Did other people get that?
I got it.
Okay.
I want to say something about this. We have never been clear. I mean, that these budget revisions were taking place. So now they have come back as budget, revised budget, so we have to approve them.
That's what I would have thought.
Yeah, I mean, we've approved a budget, and now the budget has been changed. So this is a proposal that we're going to have to approve, and in order to approve it, everybody's going to have to look at what changed from what we approved before.
Yeah, I'm happy to go over them with you, but you remember that at that board meeting, we approved the budget with the proviso that they have the 1 month operating.
Actually, we didn't. We did that last year, but this year it wasn't part of the motion.
Really? Well, I took it as my job.
What we did do was we said that the when we came out with the WBAI thing,
mm-hmm.
we said that needed to
right.
incorporate, but we didn't make a general statement, and I agree with Carol that we do, the local boards have to approve any changes, and the national board has to approve it, and I would think that we should, didn't we say that the national board was going to reconsider
the
budget or look at it again in December?
Yeah.
I think so. So my point here, Lonnie, is not that this is not a good thing, because, yes, we should have had the operating had the 1 month operating reserves in the budget. So I'm glad that they're being revised. But every line that has been changed, somebody needs to highlight it so that the local board and the national board can see that.
I'll tell you what, I'll do that. And
put a yellow marker on it or something
yeah.
so that we can see and look at what it was that we approved and what we're now being asked to approve and how much different it is.
Yeah, no problem. I'll resend them with the highlights the changes.
Uh-huh.
And just a quick question. The
yeah.
way you phrased it, it sounds as though basically you went back to the station, says it needs to come under this, and they found the numbers. You didn't do that, or did you do it with them, or how did that work?
It worked differently for each station. Some of them didn't need to do it, so there was nothing to really go back and talk about.
Mm-hmm.
For WBAI, I told Angel, I said, Angel, where can you reduce? She identified two areas she felt we could reduce. And what I, in her case, since she was tied up with that drive, I changed the numbers, found the 30,000, as she said, I could take them from these two line items. So I did it and sent a copy to her and to Don for their review so they could see the final product. And the case of T, there was nothing to be done. In the case of K, I talked to Eva about where they thought it might come from, and in the interest of time, I did it in my budget because my budgets roll up to the consolidated, and then asking her to have a review of it. Now I'm bringing that same review process to this committee, saying, okay, here's what revised budgets will look like. And my anticipation that you'll review it, because my understanding is we're going to look at all of it around November 15th, or just say whatever. So
I think December. You mean when you say we, you mean the committee, or you mean the national board?
The committee would look at it. Maybe I'm wrong, but I was thinking November 15th.
That's in 3 days.
Yeah, that's why I was rushing. But nobody scheduled the meeting, but I still did that work. And so I'm assuming that all of these adjustments and final approval of FY05 budget, along with any new adjustments, would be taken up December 15th.
I also had one other issue, which is, you know, there's been this talk about KPFK finishing out last year short of what had been projected in terms of a surplus. But my understanding is that the budget that got passed basically includes getting to that 1 month surplus. So as long as that's done, you're not in a, nobody's paying back anything on last year. That budget takes into account what was left in the bank at the end of that year and a target for what needs to be in the bank at the end of this year. Is that accurate?
Let me just check. I'm checking your numbers now.
And while you do that, there was one other point that I had forgotten to bring up earlier, which is in your proposed finance policies, it says by September 30th of each fiscal year, each unit will have accumulated 1 month's operating expenses computed to be total expenses plus central services. And that was interesting to me because my understanding of the reason for the 1 month operating reserve is that you want that to pay the local station's expenses. Well, when you raise that money, you have to pay central services on whatever you raised. So how come there's central services again calculated into the surplus money, which is the money you have left over once you've already paid central services on everything you've earned? Okay. Your proposed finance policies, item A, said by September 30th of each fiscal year, each unit will have accumulated 1 month's operating expenses, computed to be the total expenses plus the central services. So, for example, if KPFK's total expense to run its own show for a month is $260,000, then what you've said is they need $260,000 plus 20% of that, which would be $52,000, for central services, if I'm reading correctly. And what I don't understand is people don't pay central services assessment on the surplus. So
Not on the surplus. Total expenses, say in the KPFA example,
right,
is just your operating, your administrative, your programming, your development.
Right.
And say that comes to, like you say, maybe a $260 in a given month. Well, there's another bill to pay, and that other bill to pay is central services.
But you've already paid it when you raised that money.
No, you haven't paid anything. You just raised the money. You haven't paid a dime. You've raised the money, but you haven't paid, say, the central services on the listenership part of it.
You don't pay central services assessments when you spend money. You pay central services assessment when you raise money.
Well, you know, just maybe it's just the way the budget is constructed. But if I have operating expenses of, as I say, $250,000, then there's an additional bill, and that bill is the 20% or so, or 19.5% in the case of on the listener support portion of the revenue.
But I disagree. You do not get funded. My understanding is you do not get levied a central services assessment when you spend money. You get it when you raise money. So if KPFK raised $3.5 million and it spends $3.3 million, leaving $200,000 surplus, part of the $3.3 that it spent was 20% on all of the listener money it raised. That was included in the budget. The surplus is over and above after it's paid its central services assessment for the total amount of listener support. That is budgeted. So now what I'm seeing is we're tacking on an additional 20% on the money that you have as a surplus. So in a sense, you're charging more than 40% on any money over and above what you spent.
Can I interject in here?
Please.
One bit of terminology that's really, I think, twisting the discussion is calling this money a surplus. It isn't a surplus. It's actually a reserve we're asking the stations to maintain, to accumulate. And Lonnie has said that the reason for that reserve is so that we can carry you over another month if need be. I tend to see, well, at KPFA, we don't need the money to hold us over another month if need be, because we've been accumulating reserves for a couple of years. But we do need, around this network, to begin accumulating capital reserves for extraordinary projects and rebuilding the reserves that the old, ancient pre-2002 board squandered. And so I look at this as an opportunity to set some limits on station spending that allow us to begin accumulating reserves again. And I think if we see it in that context, this is one way to define how to do it. Another way used to be that no station was allowed to budget spending more than 80% of what they raised the year before.
But whatever it is, I'm not objecting to the idea of now having a capital requirement.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm objecting to is the calculation of what a one-month
operating
is, and to include in that a payment to of central services.
But if you think of what it costs the station to run, costs X dollars for administration, X dollars for development, X dollars for programming, and X dollars for central services, annualized, divide by 12. That's how much it costs, how much comes out of the income of that station and goes somewhere else.
That's how much a station would need if it had to pay its bills for a month. But it doesn't have to pay central services on money it already raised.
Well, most of
that
the
is
bills
hang
don't
on. That
money.
Is the national office's responsibility to maintain 1 month and to get to the point where it has a 1 month operating, where we don't have the stations having to raise the money, pay the central services on everything it raised, plus keep in reserve money that it could it gives as central services. No, no, that's the national's responsibility to have its 1 month operating. Now, if you want to say, oh, we need to raise more than 1 month's reserve because we need capital budgets, fine, call it that. But I would object to calling it plus a central services component or central services expenses. That's not a station expense on money it's already raised and paid that levy on.
Isn't it true that the only mechanism for a station to pay central services is the amount of money it raises in listener support?
And it already has.
Right.
So when it has that money in the bank, it doesn't have to pay central services.
So there's no mechanism in place which would levy a station on the reserves that it's put in the bank. So it doesn't even, I mean, it shouldn't, I agree with you that the issue of central services.
It shouldn't be called that because then it starts looking as though stations are carrying a portion of their reserve to be paid as central services.
Right.
Yes.
And that's why I object to the terminology. Exactly why.
Well, are you saying the terminology is the issue for you, Dave, not the substance? Or
if you want to have extra money in there, fine, but it's not extra money in a station budget to pay central services.
Okay,
it's extra money for a capital budget, or it's extra money for, you know, we want 2 months or whatever it is. But it's not sitting in a station's bank account there for the national office, unless we say we want to raise the central services allotment, which is another discussion entirely.
I think it might be
I'm
a typo.
I'm not following you here.
I think there might be a typo in there.
Well, yeah, I think maybe I understand
what
Dave is
about.
Trying to say. Maybe if I put it in different words. Lonnie?
Yeah.
When you say that the 1 month operating reserve needs to include you know, all of their expenses plus their central services divided by 12.
For purposes of computing.
For purposes of computing.
Yeah.
You are not saying that the station owes you another month's central services. They're not going to pay that money to the national office.
Oh, right. No, no.
Is that what you think he means when he says that?
Well, that's what actually, it's what it, doing the computation in that way is incorrect, because then you're not saying I have a 1 month reserve. That's a change. That says I want 1.2 months reserve. We said the policy is we have a 1 month reserve. The reserve being what you have to make it through a month in terms of what your budget outflow is. That's a 1 month reserve. Doing that much plus, if you had to accumulate what you have as central service, that's a 1.2 month reserve, not a 1 month reserve. If we want to change it and say we want a 1.2 month operating reserve, fine, we'll go there. But I object to two things. One, changing it from 1 to 1.2 months, and calling it, you know, this is a computation of a central service expense as well. Call it something else. Call it whatever you want. But a station does not owe an extra 20% when it's spending down that reserve in the 13th month.
Still not following it.
Well, can I say, like, suppose a station runs out of money except for its reserve. All it has in the bank in September is its operating reserve.
By the way, this reserve is not supposed to be for September. It's supposed to be for October.
Okay, I'm sorry. At the end of September, all it has in the bank, it's complied exactly with the budget requirements, and it has the operating reserve in the bank.
That's right.
Then it's entitled to spend that money to carry it into November. The national office will not levy those funds. The national office
Correct.
Will not make any claim on those monies.
Correct.
Right.
So in effect, if the money has been calculated to include 1/12 of the operating reserves, not 1/12 of the central services fees, then that means the station has enough money to pay for its operating expenses, and it's going to have an additional
20%
left over.
Correct.
At the end of
That's right.
It's
so it's a 1.2-month operating reserve.
The problem never comes up, because if you don't have revenue in that month of October, then you don't have central service charge in the month of October.
You don't have a central service charge on your operating reserve. You have a central service charge on whatever budget numbers you're doing. What Paul said is exactly correct, and that is a 1.2-month reserve if it's calculated that way.
Yeah, technically, you're right, Dave. That can.
So if we want to change the policy,
Finish. Technically, that's true if you have a situation, what you're doing when you're budgeting, you're guessing that that 0.2 may be utilized in October. If it is not utilized, it is still at the disposal of that particular station.
I'm not arguing that. I'm saying what we're doing, if you do the calculation the way you've proposed, is we're changing the policy from a one-month operating reserve to a 1.2-month operating reserve. We're increasing the reserve requirement by 20%. And if we want to do that, then fine, let's do it. And this is just a proposed policy, so when we actually finally approve this, we'll deal with that. It was a point that came up when I was asking this question about the reserve, and I'm sorry to have gone outside of the item, because we passed that item. But I did want to raise that, and I have a sense that we have clarity on it now.
I think that the percent analysis is great. If you look at it, do a dollar analysis, because when you have a month, say September, let's ignore October. If you have no revenue in October, you have no central service charge. And the 1.2% analysis doesn't hold, because it is not a fixed 20% rate when there is no revenue. It's a 0% rate when there is no revenue. So it is. I think doing it on a percent basis can be misleading. If you do it on a dollar analysis, percents are treacherous. That's why I hate them. If you do it on a dollar analysis, the problem evaporates. You don't have any money to pay out. You don't have owe anything in central service. You don't have the revenue. Anyway, and therefore it's not 20%. It's 0%. So
I think we're at a point where we can. I think I've made the point, and we can deal with the details of it when we approve the final policy. But the question was on the K thing. Our budget includes getting to an operating reserve at the end of year, and we are not paying back anything that was quote short on projection before. Our budget just includes getting us to 1 month operating reserve as of September 30th, 2005.
Yeah, it's not an assessment for the national office. Something that wise and prudent to do, because revenues around the network are pretty close to zero around September and October.
So the thing I'm saying is, I had heard talk that there was at KPFK that we were short. Like at the end of last year, we did not have 1 month operating reserve because we had legal assessments, so we had less than 1 month operating reserve. But when we wrote the budget included being at 1 month operating reserve as of September 30. So it's not as though we haven't already budgeted paying back some amount that was due at the end of last year, correct? In other words, we predicted that we would be short of 1 month operating expense, and this year's budget got us there. So if we raise more money than is in this year's budget, that money is a surplus, because we've budgeted to have 1 month operating at the end of September, given the revenue projections.
I have to answer.
Yes, because I keep hearing that. For example, I heard that when we raised $50,000 or $80,000 over goal, that some of that money was due back because of a shortfall last year. And my understanding is that if the whole rest of the year went exactly according to budget, we would have, as of September 30th, a 1 month operating reserve plus $80,000.
In that example, Dave, yes, that's
okay.
True.
That's what I wanted to be clear on.
Yeah, that's true, but that's not what happened at K. They did not, in fact, have 1 month operating reserve.
Until you did this budget change that we were just talking about.
Yeah, that's right.
Got it. Okay. I just want to be clear on that.
That's true. That's for the station's protection, not for the national office.
I understand. No argument there. Okay. Is there anything else on the on this report?
This is LaVarne. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay, I'm not sure if it's on the report, but there are a couple of things that I'd like to ask of Lonnie and to reiterate again, and kind of related to what I guess Paul or Alice is saying. On the whole thing with headcount, what I would like is the monthly headcount report that's done by KPFA that shows hours, individuals. I mean, I can go online. I have access to stuff on the internet. But that doesn't really tell you what is happening each month. That tells you what the salaries are and the ranges and all of that. But what I would need to see in order to look at, you know, who's moving in and out and check the numbers is the monthly headcount report that KPFA's business office does each month. I'd like access to that.
Is that something, LaVarne, that should be automatic at all stations to the treasurers?
Well, it depends on what you're asking for. I mean, it depends on how they actually prepare it. But yes, that would, and therefore, you can really see again what is really happening each month, because all of us have access to the information on the internet. You know, the salaries, the ranges, like I said. But in order to see, you know, like who's moving in and out, who's hired, you know, what the consultants are, we would need to see that monthly headcount report that your business office prepares each month. And the other thing is the whole thing is that I think all of us need to go in and look at the LSB expenses and check all the expenses to make sure that they are LSB expenses or election expenses and question those if there are some questions about them.
Dave?
Yes, go ahead.
I like that idea, LaVarne, that there be monthly headcounts, or as you said, Dave, of that sort with hours and so on from each station. That would be terrific. Can that be done?
Is that something that should be under this committee or Lonnie, or should that be locally an issue for the local finance committees? Lonnie, do you want to respond?
I think it should be local. That would put me into going to each station each month. I wouldn't be good at it doing it from where I sit. But I think it is something that the local finance committees should look at, or the treasurers.
Okay, so the question is that, this is the question, Lonnie, is that if I go to Lois and I say, Lonnie has given permission for me to see your monthly headcount report, so I'd like a copy of it. That's basically what we need. And each station, the same thing.
There's a point on that. There's a communication policy, which says that the...
No, that doesn't apply if a committee has a policy. The finance committee has reporting policies.
Oh, yeah, if we make it a policy...
That's what LaVarne is asking for.
But she didn't say that. She said if Lonnie gives permission.
Well, that's the same as our having a policy.
Thank you, Carol.
She just misstated it.
Well, I wish that were true.
She just misstated it, really.
I misstated it. I think Dave tried to misinterpret what I said. I mean, the question is very clear what I said, Dave, and that is, Lonnie, can we do that? And if Lonnie says yes, then we put it in the form of a policy. You know, point blank, what's the confusion?
That's absolutely...
What's the confusion?
It's no confusion. I think
okay,
that's
well,
wrong.
Let's go ahead. Lonnie, will you answer the question?
They're trying to make me king and czar. I don't want to be...
Well, then make a motion that we adopt such a policy, LaVarne, and let's move on.
Oh, no, I think that we're not clear on what's being proposed. I'm hearing two or three things. One is a headcount. The second is salaries. I heard LaVarne mention that.
The headcount has the salary on there. We all have, as treasurers, we all have access to that lining. We have access to salaries. We have access to salary ranges. What I'd like to see is the headcount report that the business office prepares each month. Now, what is on the headcount report? Now, maybe we can sit down.
I'm not sure we all have salaries.
Yes, we do. We have them. I can forward them to you.
The treasurers have them.
Yeah, the whole finance committee.
We gave it to them in executive session. I gave them the little, you know.
Finish what I was saying.
The ranges.
Yeah, you have salary ranges, but in a budgetary format. What I thought I was hearing, and I'm happy to correct it, was to be able to get that information on a monthly basis with a headcount. That is different.
What's different? Okay, so tell me what's different. Okay, but that is what the ask is. That's
yeah.
what I'm requesting. Okay, so now why do you say
you
different?
Ask, and you can correct me, is you want that monthly. That
right.
is different than what you're getting. That is totally different, and our head's off in a different direction, and that, I think, requires discussion.
I'm sorry?
I think that requires serious discussion.
Okay, well, what kind of discussion do you want to have on it? Do you want to discuss it at the next meeting, or what do you want to do?
I think it does, because if I'm hearing you correctly, here's what I'm envisioning may happen, or if I'm hearing you incorrectly, I'm happy to be corrected. That every month you'd get a head count, and when you hear head count, I'm hearing the number of people. Okay, the number of people, the number of heads, plus salary information, updates on salary information in terms of who's hired, who's not hired in that month. So you got a monthly report here that will be necessary.
Okay, let me just clarify. What I think I would need to see is to sit down with the business manager to see what kind of headcount report does the business manager prepare to give to you each month, so the business manager will know. When the salaries come up, the business manager will be able to, like, divide X into there to make sure the salaries are correct, to see the headcount report with the salaries that the business manager prepares. So if we could sit down, look at, see exactly what they prepare, what they give to you, I would like to see that so that we can, so that when I get the numbers each month that shows salary, you know, I have nothing to compare it. That's just the number. Then I will know, if I have a headcount report, I will know number of people, number of hours. I will be able to look at that to see that the numbers are correct or that it means something. Now, you know, I just get it. You just get a number. It doesn't mean anything. I don't get head count. I don't know how many people or anything. So I'm asking for, and your business manager, I'm sure, prepares a monthly head count report. Is that correct?
No, they don't usually. I think Eileen did it, but I'm not aware of any other station doing what you were referring to as a head count.
Are you talking about FTEs
or what?
What's that?
Do you mean FTEs?
It means whatever you have. Do you
Eileen
have FTEs?
Does prepare it or did.
Yeah, exactly.
She prepared a monthly. It's basically your payroll report. I mean,
right.
It's the schedule she fills out.
That's what I thought you
were. That says,
payroll
says we had so many employees who worked so many hours and got paid so much, and we can tell whether somebody has been hired or not, you know, there's new hires or changes from what was approved when we approved the budget. The whole point in sending us the positions and salaries when we got them earlier this year was so that we could see what staffing levels and what positions we were approving when we approved the budget.
Can I say something?
Go ahead.
My understanding is that the information about the individuals on the paid staff, this is the permanent staff, that information is held in the national office, in Lonnie's office, and that that essentially each month the business manager cuts a check to cover and sends it to national to cover the payments that will be made to those people, and then National sends out the checks, the individual checks. Is that right, Lonnie?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, but, however, and those people are fixed pretty much in the lists that we got, the so-called head counts that we got. That's fixed unless there's a change, unless somebody's hired or somebody leaves. So that adjustment would just be made, you know, as it occurs. Now, the other part of it, I'm not clear on exactly what the mechanism is there, but you have part-time and temporary employees and consultants. I think those people are now also being paid by National, right, Lonnie?
We're not paying consultants.
Not consultants, but the part-time and temporaries are now
1099s are paid locally, I think.
Yeah, but
okay, so
that's true. We do pay them from the rosters given us by the local stations.
Oh, there's a roster from the local station?
They are payroll amounts. They basically provide the timesheets. We use we compile the timesheets into a computer program for ADP, that sort of thing.
Right.
And then ADP produces the checks taxes, sends us back the checks, and then we mail them back to the station.
Right. So once a month, the business manager is going to send a fax, the timesheets of whoever was working temporary or part-time, and then you would make the payment. So there isn't any real roster, per se.
He just said there was a roster, Paul. What are you talking about?
Well,
did Lonnie just say there was a roster?
Yeah, it's in national.
Yes, he said it. So what are you saying there's no roster, per se?
I'm saying that locally.
Roster. I corrected myself to timesheets. Okay.
Okay. So there's a timesheet, but there's individual timesheets, but there's no list of all the timesheets of the names on the timesheets. It's just individual timesheets.
Oh, you're talking about what comes to us. I'm sure the station managers have theirs, but we get the timesheets.
So they could add the names.
But point of information, there's not. Actually, it's not a question. There's you don't get timesheets for people who are hired on as independent contractors.
Right, correct.
Or consultants. Those checks are cut locally. You don't see that timesheet. So a headcount of everybody who's getting money for doing work can't be generated exclusively through what you have.
That's true.
Is that what you mean, LaVarne? You want those people who are on 1099s as well, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Is that correct, LaVarne?
I would think so.
Dave?
Yeah, go ahead. Paul was trying to clarify something first. Paul?
Yeah, I think the only people who are actually paid locally are, as you said, they are the consultants. And now they're true consultants. They're not the people that were formerly called consultants. But the actual lists of who's being paid at each station, I believe those lists are actually held by national rather than locally.
Is that correct, Lonnie?
Well, say again for me.
I think that if one were to ask for a list of who's being paid salary at WBAI, that list would exist in the national office rather than at WBAI.
Well, you know, some stations, of course, keep that list on Excel at the station, keep track of it because they've got things like vacation and whatnot to keep track of. So,
yeah.
But right now, Paul, I'm assuming yes, they do have a way of knowing having a roster in a way.
That would certainly help each station to know if they knew how many people they were paying.
Yeah,
that
to
would
go
really
back
help
to LaVarne's question.
I don't mean to be sarcastic too much, but
to go back to her question, it sounds like that is something that local has the information on how many people are being paid on timesheets by national, and they also have the information on how many checks they're cutting to pay people as independent contractors, and so locally the business manager should be able to generate that report. And just to go back to the communications policy, if the committee is asking for it as a regular report, then as long as there is no objection to it, then that's adequate. So LaVarne's question, if I recall, is do you have any issue with having the station generate that and provide it to the local finance committee and to us? Well, we would all get it because we're not necessarily all on the local finance committee. But would that would do, right, LaVarne?
I think you pretty well described it correctly.
Okay, so is there any issue with that, Lonnie?
Yeah, as I said, I have the following issues with it. Where
okay.
you have detailed information about the people on salary and their salaries for a given month, aside from the headcount, I keep saying there is a difference between a headcount and detailed information about the salaries. Those are two different items.
But I don't hear her asking for the detailed information.
I haven't clarified that.
We have access to that line. We have their salaries. As a treasurer, I have not just salary ranges. I have their salaries.
Every month.
Well, you know, unless their salaries are changing each month.
Well, yeah, you got the budgeted salaries is what I'm understanding. I'm asking,
right.
Do you get the monthly payroll by payroll salaries or not? I don't think...
No, that's what I'm saying. We'd like to do. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'm understanding you requesting that. The monthly payroll by payroll salary information. That's what I'm hearing. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But that's what I thought you were asking for in addition to the headcount.
Okay, this is what I'd like to see. I'd like to see a report that has the headcounts, that has the individual names.
Individual names.
Right. And it has a count of the people, the number of people.
Yeah.
Ideally, it would have the number of hours that they worked.
Yeah. Would it have the category?
And somehow it would have salaries on there, so that when I get my monthly, when I get my actuals for that month, and it shows salary of $200,000, I can say, okay, there are X, I can look at this report and I'll say there are 25 people, you know, and if I